Amen. Praise God. Every time I come, I see new people. The congregation is growing. Amen. I like it. I like this way. The Lord is adding to the numbers daily. Right? That's what the Bible says. That in the early church, the Lord was adding to the numbers daily. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When you look at the Acts chapter 3, 1 to 10, you see how the apostles were going around doing things. And everybody were amazed, because imagine these people who were so timid. They were so afraid. They're always, when they were with Jesus, and Jesus was training them, they always had doubt. They always were afraid. They were anxious. They were disappointed. They were giving Jesus a hard time many times. And they were doing all kinds of things. And these disciples, they became so bold and courageous and so amazingly, no one can understand this. The title for my sermon is Uncommon Boldness, Uncommon Courage today. There's an uncommon courage that came upon these disciples, this boldness, this confidence, right? When you look at this, the word that was read, you see how Peter and John were walking. They must have passed through that temple gate many times. It's called temple gate, called beautiful, right? I don't know why they call it beautiful. It must be a beautiful gate, a beautifully carved gate, like some of those ancient temples you go, like when you go to those, and sometimes I'm always amazed how these ancient people build these things, right? These are marvelous. The temple might be amazing, and the disciples must have walked through it many times. But this time there was something new. There was something amazing. There was something incredible, incredible, incredible. You know, they're filled with uncommon courage, boldness. Members of the fourth grade class at Spring Hill Elementary School in McLean, Virginia, were asked the question, "What is courage?" Their answer was having faith. You know, these were all grade four students. Being brave. Doing something when you're scared of doing it. Doing something you think you can't. Trying something you have never done before. And one girl said, being nice to people with disabilities. Kids are so cute, right? They can give the amazing answers. They're so cute. I love kids, you know. And, that's courage. My church, I don't know, my church is filled with all young families. There's more kids' noise in my church than any worship or anything. So we have a new church facility we moved into, because our church facility was not accommodating our needs as we are slowly growing. So we moved into God's grace, we moved into a new place on the Good Friday and Easter. It was a beautiful It's a plaza, and they made one of the the warehouses into a beautiful church. Like we renovated it, we got a beautiful sanctuary. It was nice, and then we have a kids room on the upper floor, so the kids go through the main sanctuary and they're on the upper floor. So our family is full of young, all the kids, and they're growing. People, like women, are getting pregnant, and they're all, you know. And I don't know, Sunday school ministry is increasing like crazy, and they're making so much noise, and I'm trying to put everything in place, and when you ask them some questions, sometimes they're so cute, because I love kids. Like, I think because I love kids so much, I think God is filling my church with all these kids, right? And the thing is, they say this thing. Sometimes these kids come and ask. Some of the kids are so smart. They're only this high, but they ask questions that even adults can't ask. Have you ever noticed it? These kids are only this high. They're so cute. They come and ask you questions about God or existence or universe that I never probably asked at that age. And I'm like, man, these are AI kids. Probably artificial intelligence has crept into them. Because I'm amazed. Because I'll tell you, I have like 15 or 16 kids in my church, all little kids walking around. And they come and ask all kinds of questions about God, existence, universe, all these things, about love. And I'm like, where are you learning this? Right? Are your parents? I know their parents, they're not that spiritual. They are spiritual. They're growing. But I'm like, wow. Because kids are, you know, growing, and in time, and the kids answer all kinds of questions, right? C.S. Lewis once said, he said, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point. C.S. Lewis, and many of you know him, wonderful author. He said, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point. Meaning, every virtue comes to a testing point, and courage is that. And God gives us that uncommon courage. This disciple with uncommon courage. Because they went to the temple gate, and this guy was sitting there. From birth, he was crippled. He had all kinds of disabilities. And he was begging, probably, he was begging for his life. All life, every morning, somebody brings him, puts him there, then take him back, and wherever he goes. And then he's always begging and saying, give us something, give me something. That's his life, that's his occupation, whatever it is. And then he saw these two people walk. He said, can you give me something? And then Peter and John looked at this person. Probably for the first time, they looked at this person like they've never looked before. Because they were filled with something. They were filled with power. Now, and we know it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Because they're anointed with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And they were so filled with the Holy Spirit, this unseen supernatural power. And they looked at this guy and they put the gaze on him. And he said, silver and gold we do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That's a very bold thing to do among hundreds of people. There are probably hundreds of people walking into the temple gate. And they must have all stopped, or they must be looking at what these two funny guys are doing, talking to this guy. And then they were saying, silver and gold we do not have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And immediately that guy rose up and started walking. Imagine this. That must be crazy. If somebody's doing it in our, imagine, like Square One Shopping Center or Vaughan Mills or, you know, Richmond Hills Shopping Center or somewhere, somebody or some church. Imagine at the entrance of your church, some guy's, no one's begging at the churches nowadays. You know. I don't know, in China they do it, but in India a lot of beggars sit in front of the churches. Now imagine this, like, you know, somebody in that, you know, a homeless guy or a person who was just crawling on his, on the streets, and then we go there and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That is crazy, right? That's a power, like, everybody were amazed because they have never seen such thing before. They've never seen such thing before. And because I think that is the uncommon thing about Jesus Christ. The whole, when you look at Jesus Christ, the work of the gospel, the Holy Spirit, it just amazes and intrigues us how this happened, because the whole history got changed. World stopped when Jesus came and the Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit began touching people's lives. Everything that was broken and hurt is getting restored. It's incredible. It's so uncommon, right? How many of you believe me, what I'm saying, or agree with me? Amen? Amen? Many of you are looking at me like, wow, shock and awe, right? Like, I know when I read the Word of God, it's shock and awe, right? Always for me, it's a shock. And I'm like, wow, these things are crazy. These things are parting the Red Sea, healing people, stopping the sun and moon, you know, healing all kinds of diseases. And the Bible is the book that is just amazes everyone, right? Is it too good to be true? Sometimes we think it's too good to be true, but when you look at the history, when you look at the testimony, look at the power of the Holy Spirit, God is working in new and fresh ways. And Peter and John, who really, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, you know that. He was so much like, he was afraid that somebody would recognize him and relate him to Jesus. So what happened? This guy, from a place of denial and from a place of fear, from a place of intimidation, he moved to a place of extreme courage. I don't know, like, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Praise God. This is crazy. This is crazy. And that is what God does in our life. When you look at the work of the Lord Jesus in our life, that is how it is. And I've seen it happen in so many. I've been in ministry for 25 years now. Me and your pastor Nuhum went to church together and went to Tyndale together. How many of you know that? You know the story? I told some of you before. I met your pastor, and some of you don't know, on the stairs for the first day. He came to Tyndale and he saw me walk up the stairs. We were just new to Canada, 25. This is September of 2000, you know, and he came in January 2001. And I was just 6 months into the country, you know, a newbie, don't know anything about Canada. It was cold. I'm like, why God, you dropped me into this cold land? from India, and then Nuhum walked up the stairs, and I was, there's something of a miracle, like he was walking downstairs, and he was walking up, and he said, "Hey, you know, hey brother," and I'm like, "I don't know this guy." He's a black guy, and I don't know him. I never knew him. "Hey, brother, how are you?" And he began embracing me. I'm like, "Oh, my gosh." Like, imagine this. You see somebody for the first time, and then I see the love of God. It's uncommon. It's uncommon love, right? Anything is uncommon in Jesus. And I felt the warmth in his shake when he shook hands with me. And I'm from India. He's from Africa. And we became brothers, right? And we became so close. We shared life. And the thing is, that's uncommon. See, in Jesus, everything is uncommon. Uncommon love, uncommon compassion, uncommon courage, uncommon. Everything is uncommon in Jesus. It goes against the grain of what we have taught, like the world teaches us. You know, everything that, you know, the world teaches us, logic, everything is out of the window. Amen? Everything out of the window. Like, there is no law. Sometimes there's no logic. And a lot of people say, you know what, these guys are out of their mind. Like, what are they doing? But he's amazing. He healed a crippled beggar. Peter looked at him and said, the truth and power. He was in a prison before that. Peter was in a prison. Now, these two disciples were thrown in prison. Now, imagine this. You come straight out of prison and start healing people. Right? Somebody puts me in prison, I'm thinking, will I do that? Someone throws me in prison, first of all, I'm like, go home, and I start sulking and crying and say, "Lord, what have you done to me?" Like, I think that's human nature. But this guy, they was put in prison, and they go out and they start healing people. I think this is what the power of the gospel is. I always amazed at the power of the gospel. In my 26 years of my ministry life in Canada, and I traveled the U.S. extensively, I traveled India, I traveled, preached in so many places, and I saw this uncommon work of the Holy Spirit everywhere. I'm always amazed at the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm always amazed at the gospel of Jesus. I'm always amazed. I'm always in awe of God's presence. I'm always in extreme awe and wonder of God's presence because I've experienced it firsthand. Not because I'm a preacher. I went to seminary and I've done my master's in theology and all these other certifications I've got. It's not about that. Push everything else. I don't care about those degrees or anything. This all don't mean anything to me at one point, right? It doesn't mean. It's that presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus. The gospel itself. It's this amazing, uncommon awe and wonder that amazes me all the time. I'm always amazed because when you look at Peter and John, they were not wealthy people. Look at them. They were not wealthy people. They didn't have any money. Right? They said, "We don't have any money in the name of Jesus Christ." You know, it's not like these guys. These guys can just have money and give this money, or they might say, "I give you money, you start acting," or, you know. They didn't do that. They didn't have any money. They were very ordinary people, fishermen. The second thing they did, you know, the freedom, they found themselves in the presence of God. See, when you look at this, in Acts chapter 4, verse 3, it says, the ruler seized Peter and John because it was easy to put them in jail the next day. Because this is what happened. This is what happened. You know, in Acts chapter 3, they healed. Everybody were filled with awe and amazement. The next thing the rulers do is put them in prison. Because they're afraid that these guys are teaching something and doing some things that are crazy. Like when you accept Christ and when you start behaving in a way that is contrary to what you are, your personality, your life, how your life is changing. And that is the beauty of knowing Christ, is that our life is changing constantly. There's the beauty of knowing the Holy Spirit. Our life is changing constantly. Our life is completely being transformed. You know, that is the clear sign that something is speaking into our heart. If you know Jesus, if you follow the Holy Spirit, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus, the truth has touched you, every day something new is happening in your heart and God is changing you in new and fresh ways. Sometimes it might not be so obvious. It might not be so, you know, something that happens earth-changing. It is something that is subtle, something that is happening in the very deep depth of your heart. You might be experiencing something. You might be going through something. It can be a situation, circumstance, relationship. It can be something that is happening to you spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, or financially. Something is happening to you and it's changing you inside out. That is the very sign that God's Word and the Holy Spirit is working in you. Amen. It is working in you. And it is doing something amazing in your heart. And that is what happened to Peter and John. That something stirred them up. The Holy Spirit stirred them up. And they were so bold because they're not acting under their own strength or conscience, but they were moving forward with the power of God. And they have said, in name of Jesus. They had so much confidence, without doubt, that then they said, if I command this beggar to rise up in the name of Jesus, he will rise up and walk. See, they've crossed that the threshold of doubt. They've crossed the threshold of doubt. They have said, there is no doubt. You know, it's the uncommon, crazy courage. They've crossed that threshold of doubt and they said, you know, they said, no matter what happens, I know one thing for sure. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the power of the Holy Spirit, this person will rise up and walk. And the power of the Holy Spirit just touched this crippled beggar who was completely crippled from his birth. From his birth, meaning he was born with that defect and he rise up and he began walking. Meaning that which has been natural to him has been transformed. Because the very DNA get changed when we are in the Lord Jesus. Our very essence will change. Things that are in our DNA that's natural to us will begin to change. That's the reason addictions will stop. Strongholds will be broken. Burials will be removed. Our life will, because in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, things begin to change in our very system, our DNA, that was not like that before. It changes the very nature. And that is the reason that miracles will happen. How many of you believe in miracles? I believe in miracles for the glory of God, not for a show or a drama, right? When you see sometimes, and I'm not criticizing, judging anybody. Who am I to judge? But when I see sometimes on television or outside some places, and there's so much drama that happens, abusing and misusing the Holy Spirit. You know, trying to heal people and doing things with them, which doesn't happen many times. Because people are trying to make a quick buck from the Holy Spirit, like to make money, gain some celebrity status, gain people, do all kinds of tricks out there. And that's changing. Let me tell you, because why? Because the desire for wealth is growing, the desire for materialism and the wealth and the desire to somehow get rich, get famous. And it's happening all over the world. It's happening in the Christian circles. I am in ministry for 26 years. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen how this thing can be so corrupt, this desire for power, for money, for name, fame, and glory. And it's happening all over the place, in the Christian churches all the time. Because they want to use this miracle, or this Holy Spirit, for their own gain. Right? And that is not right. Because the Holy Spirit is still doing miracles. The Holy Spirit is still doing amazing things in the lives of people. The Holy Spirit, the gospel is still powerful, living and active. And the gospel is still working, not for the benefit or the corruption of people, but for the glory of God. Amen? For the glory of God. And I think we have to say, Lord, everything I do is for your glory, Lord. I want no glory. I want no honor. I want no praise. I want no celebrity status or name, fame, money. You'll give me everything I need. Amen. All that I've needed, your hand has provided. Amen. God will give us abundantly. We don't have to do something to, you know, tell wrong things to people and get it. And that's Peter and John. They were so sincere and they were so filled with uncommon courage because they were sincere. They sincerely wanted to see this crippled man come back to the fullness of life. When we are sincere in our heart, and there's a reason David says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because when we do something sincerely in the presence of God, when we do sincerely, it will have a positive, beautiful effect, because sincerity comes from heart. when we are not pretending, when we're not putting on a mask. See, when you pray, when you do something, when you're living your life, let me tell you one thing. You know, some people say, fake it till you make it. Have you heard it? How many of you heard it? You fake it, fake it, fake it till you make it. That is, you know, again, by worldly standards, might be right. I don't know. But that's wrong, right? When you are in the Lord and God will provide, the Holy Spirit will take care of us. We don't have to fake anything. We can simply ask the Lord, and in His time, God will provide. We don't have to fake. We can be sincere and truthful in the presence of God, and God will make all things possible. Hallelujah. When our heart is sincere, when our heart is clean, when our heart is before God, with integrity and honesty and serving God, He will give everything. And when we have a sincerity, God will use us to bring many more broken, hurting, crushed people into the healing presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So many people will come to know, right? This is a broken world. How many of you believe it's a broken world? See, wealth, money, technology, you know, when people say, oh, so much, they're so rich, they're so wealthy, they're so advanced, they're so technologically so great, that does not have nothing to do with brokenness. The brokenness, the crushedness of the heart and life is so much different than all of these external things. That brokenness that comes from the heart, that brokenness, that crushedness, nothing can change. Not even AI can do anything about the brokenness of a human heart. Can AI heal brokenness of a human heart? Anyone agree with me here? It can't heal. It can do something externally in the external things. But the human heart can only be healed by the gospel, by the presence of the Lord. You know, they didn't have any money. They didn't have any, you know, they didn't have any, greatness or any power or any education. They were not educated people, because in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the rulers and the elders realized that Peter and John were unschooled, ordinary men. Again, these rulers were amazed, because in the eyes of the world, only the most educated with multiple degrees and great education can perform something like this. For in the eyes of the world, you know, these guys didn't go to any perfect, powerful university. They don't have the intellect to do these things, because they said they're unschooled. How can unschooled, ordinary men do this kind of thing? Who gave them the learning? Did they learn some magic somewhere? So this is the most amazing thing. When people look at somebody who's touched by the gospel of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, they're always amazed. Who did this to you? Like, how did this happen to you? How many of you were touched by the gospel and your life changed? Any one of you? All of you? Some of you are doubtful, like, should I raise my hand or keep it down or say amen? I better not say, because the person beside me might disagree with what I will say, right? How many of you were touched by the gospel? I am an example. Like, I, you know, touched by the gospel. Touched by everything, my life changed, my thinking changed, my perspective changed. I had an uncommon boldness, and I could tell you stories and stories. You could stay all day here about how God used me. And it always amazes me that ordinary, you know, a person like me can be used by God. Ordinary person like me can bring the gospel to people. And many got, you know, healed, saved, and so many lives changed. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. This is not my greatness. It is your greatness. Amen? So the people here, they were so amazed that didn't have. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and reveal them to little children. Jesus was amazed. Because Jesus, when he said, you know, when ordinary people were experiencing the power of God, he said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Revealed them to little children. Meaning, little children meaning ordinary people. Most ordinary, unschooled, or people who the society will consider nothing. Nobody will ever care for them. Nobody will ever talk to them. people will think them of nothing. And Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden. There's, God hides those things because God doesn't love a proud heart, or, you know, God loves a humble heart. The Bible says God loves a humble heart. God gives grace to the humble, the Bible says, and opposes the proud. God gives grace to the humble, and humble humility is very, you know, that's the reason I always say, Lord, keep me humble, because at some point, knowingly, unknowingly, I can become proud or very, you know, too much. I think too much of myself, right? Lord, keep me humble, because I'm nothing. I'm always nothing. It is by your grace I am touched and healed. Only through your grace I am made whole. Amen. God is the only source of courage and strength, and it is the same with us today. God gives us strength. Why they did, two things I'll share quickly before I close. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, because when the elders and the council in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, they were amazed, and Peter began talking to them and said, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, began talking to them, that you, the Jesus that you rejected, that, you know, he's the cornerstone. He's the one who filled us with the power. He's the one who gave us strength. He's the one who's the savior of the world. He's the one who's the healer of the world. Amen? Amen. Had the Holy Spirit in him. The Holy Spirit was filled in Peter. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 to 20. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 to 20, Jesus says, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. It will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Jesus already told the disciples, said, when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. The Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom, knowledge, understanding. In our own lives, when we make decisions, when we talk to people, in our thoughts, words, and actions, when we surrender to the Lord, he will give us the wisdom to say and do and work in the right things. The right things to say in the right time at the right place for the right reason. The right things to think and do. Everything, that is wisdom. You know, what Jesus is speaking about here is wisdom. Wisdom is not knowledge or cleverness. Cleverness and knowledge is different from wisdom. Wisdom is, you know, the power to understand and know what to say, what to do, how to move in the right way, in the right direction, the right thing to do at the right time, in the right place. That is wisdom that comes from the depth of the Holy Spirit. Knowledge and all we can learn from books. Cleverness, knowledge. Jesus says, do not be afraid. We go for evangelism in the summer. In the winter we go, but now we are going every other week on Saturday evangelism. We go to all the bus stops, the libraries, the homes beside our church. We go with flyers. We go with Bible. We go and pray for people. We go and talk to people. We hand over flyers. And we go and I lead people. There might be 5, 6, 10 people on every given Saturday that I do. And I always say to them, I say, my friends, when you go out to evangelism, the purpose of evangelism, that means the purpose of going and giving the good news, is not to grow the membership of our church. I'm not here to send you out with a mission that I will send you, that you can go talk to people and bring people in the church that they can become members and they start giving tithes to me. No, that's not my. The purpose of evangelism is that you go and proclaim the good news. Because when you give a flyer and the word is there and you tell about Jesus, you don't know how that Holy Spirit will touch that person's heart. And you don't know what that person is going through. You might not know because you don't know that person. They might be smiling. They might be rich. They might be look wealthy from the outside. But their heart might be crushed. Their life would be crushed. They're going through something incredibly broken and hurting and crushed and disappointed in life. They might be going to commit suicide. And then when the word is given to them, when you go and say, Jesus loves you, God bless you, we came to pray for you and we came to bless you, we, you know, and when you do that, the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work. Do not be afraid. And we encounter so many divine appointments. Some people come to the church, some people don't, many people don't, but they receive the word. And some people say thank you. Some people, when you're praying in the streets of Brampton, you know, there's people, we meet all kinds of people, every culture, every nation, and we talk to them and they say thank you for doing. Some people start crying on the street with us. We are total strangers. They don't even know us from anything. And they say, somehow I feel like sharing, and they start crying, and we pray for them. And they say, today my heart was so broken, so hurt. I don't know what I will do. I'm just walking on this sidewalk aimlessly because I'm so crushed. And then when we prayed for them, they start weeping, they start crying, because the word of God touches them, because we're not there to gain anything from them. We're there to just show the love of Jesus. Amen? And so many lives. So, you know, we feel so encouraged because we are not out there to take money from people, make them Christians, or shout the gospel to them and try to do a prayer with them that they will accept Christ. That's all. It's about showing the love of Jesus. It's about showing the love of God, and it will change. And many of my members, they come and say, wow, it was such a beautiful thing that the Holy Spirit led us. The Holy Spirit is always with us, helping us as you share the gospel of Jesus, as your life becomes the gospel of Jesus. You know, as we... You know, A.W. Tozer is a wonderful man of God, an author, said, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not enthusiasm, he's not courage, he's not energy, he's not the personification of all good qualities. The Holy Spirit is not the personification of anything. He has individuality. He's one being and not other. He has will, intelligence, he has hearing, he has knowledge and sympathy and ability to love and see and think. He can hear, speak, desire, grieve, and rejoice. A person. Holy Spirit is a person. That's why we say Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us, leading us. So today, the Holy Spirit, just like Peter and John gave courage, the Holy Spirit is healing and touching and will use us to bring healing in this world. Amen? Zion Alliance Church, God will use you in a powerful way. Each of you will be a change agent in this world. Somebody will be blessed because of your life. Somebody will be blessed because of your life. Because the relationship they had with Jesus, Peter and John's relationship with Jesus, you know, because they, you know, they looked at Jesus, they obeyed Jesus, and they were knowing Jesus. And because of that, their life changed. And they obeyed. Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. The Old Testament says obedience is better than sacrifice. We can give money, we can do that, we can do this. But as we obey God, Peter and John, they obeyed God. They were waiting upon God in prayer, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. The final thing, they were acting out of obedience to God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 19, the rulers, the leaders, the authorities said, don't tell anyone about this anymore. They beat Peter and John. They flogged them. They stripped them. They said, go now. We will not kill you, but don't say anything. And Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. They were obedient to what God is doing. And they always said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, this is where it says, to obey is better than to sacrifice. Obeying, right? I tell my teenager, I have two children. One is 26, a beautiful daughter. You know, she's in a beautiful relationship. And I'm praying for her to get married and have a beautiful family. She's a beautiful young lady. And I have a son who's 19. So how 19 years old, sir? How many of you have 19-year-old kids, like teenagers? And I have a wonderful deal with him every day. So he's a, you know, I always tell him, obedience is better than sacrifice. He looks at me like, okay. You're preaching again in the house. He's a beautiful young boy. He's a handsome young boy. Like, he's very handsome, right? And And many people tell me that, you know, he's got too many, I don't know, girlfriends. I don't know. I'm like, I'm praying for him. Lord, may he have only one godly girl, not like many following after him or running after him. Because he's on the phone 24 hours, right? Like his copy. I'm like, what do you do on the phone all the time? Like, is there anything useful? They're like, oh, you don't understand. Come on now, Dad. You know, you don't understand, you know. I said, obedience is better than sacrifice. I keep telling him, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I explained to him that, right? Because when you obey, I said, listen, I tell my son, listen, you obey now. And he listens many times. He listens when, you know, he's sulking and, you know, and but sometimes, you know, the clash happens, right? And it's good to have a clash, right? And when God shapes us in that clash, when we are really adamant and stubborn, God begins to shape us and mold us. Amen? Amen? And God also sometimes, you know, he's a loving God. He disciplines us, right? When he thinks he's going out of control in my home, like my, you know, I said, okay, the phone is getting cut right now. And the car insurance will be removed, so he can't drive the car. And then everything falls in place. Everything falls in place. Like, it's like, wow, what a miracle. Right? God disciplines, amen? It's a part of disciplining and teaching, right? Some things are removed so that, oh, no, these things, okay, I'll do it. Right? You know? What an amazing thing. God does it because they're obedient to Christ. And Jesus disciplined them. God disciplines us. God disciplined the disciples. Discipline is a great thing. And when we obey in discipline, God disciplined me so much. As a pastor, as a husband, as a father first, and as a son, as a pastor, and all the things, roles I carry, God really disciplined me. He sometimes told me things that, you know, and I didn't want to do those things. I didn't want to obey. I didn't want to do the things. And God disciplined. And I thank God for the discipline in my life. I thank God for what God is doing. I thank God every day, Lord, your plans are amazing. In the moment, it does not look good. In the moment, it's hard. But when we surrender to God, and when we look to God, and when we ask the Lord, Lord, you do your work. In retrospect, when I look back, thank you for what you did that day. Because if I had my way, I would have been done by now. Because you didn't let me have my way, and you had your way, Lord, in my life, which I didn't like. Because we don't want God to have his way in our life. Because we want to put resistance all the time. Because we want to do things our way. We want to be in the driver's seat. We want to drive. And then God sometimes says, no, my son, because I love you. No, my daughter. No, my son, because I love you. Because I care for you. Because I have compassion on you. Because you are my children. I will protect you. I will discipline you. I will put them in the right way. That's what I tell my son all the time. Because I love you, I discipline. I'm hard because I love you. Not because I hate you. Not because I have something against you. I'm not taking a grudge against you. But because I love you deeply. I want the best for your life. I want the best situations, the best situation for your life. I want the best of the best. I pray for you. And that is the reason I discipline you. I take care of you. And the disciples learned that from Jesus. They were disciplined. They were discipled. Disciple means teaching with discipline. Who is a disciple? Disciple is the one who's taught with discipline. Who's a disciplined learner. Do you know the meaning of disciple? Disciple means disciplined learner. Who is disciplined? How many of you believe discipline is very important? All the parents are saying, yes, 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 Pastor Philip. Preach it, preach it, preach it. Yes? Preach it now, preach it now. I'm a guy of discipline, right? Because I love my children. I love my church. I discipline the members in my church. Right? I have to, as a spiritual father, I do so much, you know, pastors, we do so much background work. Sunday morning is just a glimpse of what we do. There are a lot of background work we do. Correcting, loving, caring, disciplining, exalting, putting people in the right direction. Because Jesus told his apostles, he said, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, take care of them. Right? That's what, when you look at Peter and John, they were so, everybody were amazed at these two men. and the apostles. Whenever the gospel was preached, healing happened and everything changed. Today, God will heal you. Just like it says, just like that crippled beggar was healed. We might not be in the same situation, but our situations might be different. But God is always healing. The Holy Spirit is always guiding, always healing, always strengthening. No matter what situation in our life, we might be waking up in the morning and sleeping at night. Something hits us continuously. But God is always taking care of us when we surrender to the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord, give me strength. Because of your discipline, because of your walk with God, because of your life with God, because of your obedience to God, because of what you do, that the disciples became a blessing in many people's life. Imagine this, this crippled beggar would not have imagined that somebody would come and heal him. In the wildest imagination, this crippled man sitting at that temple, begging money every day, probably 30, 40 years of his life, he never thought somebody would come and heal him like that. Can you believe me on this? Yes. He would have never imagined. He never imagined that nobody ever came and told, on this day, these two men will come and heal you. No. He was there in his hopelessness, crushedness, in his brokenness, in everything that went against him in life. He was just begging. But then these two men, obedient to God, completely obedient, completely surrendered, disciplined by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, walked up to this man, desperate, broken, hurting, in the name of Jesus, healed him, and his life changed forever. And this man was jumping and shouting. You know, you have Sunday school song? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then you say, walking and leaping. And the little kids will keep dancing, right? Walking and leaping. See, he was walking and leaping and he was going to the temple and he said, I'm healed. Everybody were amazed. How did this fellow get healed? Because of God's children. Let me tell you one thing. Because of the Holy Spirit and God's children, the world will have hope. Because we live in a hopeless world now. Everything, everybody, there's war, there's hatred, there's hatred, war, anxiety, there is so much of anger towards each other. There's racial tensions. There's all kinds of things happening in the world. Why? Because there is the love of God. We as God's children should speak the love of God into this world. Should speak the love of Jesus into this world. Should pray the love of God into this world. And miracles will happen. Amen? I say, when all the children of this world who believe in the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus kneel and start praying, UN has no power. UN has no use. United Nations has no use because the power of God will take over and start healing people. Amen? That is the healing power, uncommon boldness, uncommon courage, uncommon healing. Today, I want each of you, Zion Alliance Church here in Richmond Hill, that God will use you. Wherever you come from, I pray that God will use you to be that source of healing, to be that source of courage, that source of hope in the lives of people who have no hope in this world. They might look good from the outside, but they might be dying in the inside. You are the hope of the world, Jesus said. You're the light of the world. You are the hope of the world. Let's all stand. I want to pray for you at this time. I want to pray for you. I want you to surrender your heart to God this time. And I want you to ask the Lord to speak to you. As you heard this word, how to unschooled, ordinary men, Peter and John, filled with obedience to the Lord Jesus, filled with obedience to the Holy Spirit, filled with that heart to bring hope into people's lives, stepped out of their comfort zone, stepped out of their life, and they spoke boldly into this person's life. I wanted to surrender your life to God today and say, Lord, speak to me, Lord. Reveal to me, Lord Jesus. Lord, use my life, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. You are the hope of the world, Lord Jesus. There is no hope in this world. Lord, heal me and through my life, heal those around me, Lord. Use me as a vessel. Use me as an instrument, Lord. Use me as a tool of healing in the lives of people in this world. Around me, Lord, wherever my workplace, my school, my church, my community, my travel, wherever I go, Lord, use me as a tool of healing, Lord Jesus. just like you used Peter and John. I want to pray for yourself now. God will heal you and will bring healing to the people around you. God has the power to do that. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to pray for yourself. If there's impossible situations in your life, I want you to pray for that and say, Lord, I'm going through this impossible situation. You are the healer. Like you healed that crippled beggar, Lord, heal me, Lord, Holy Spirit. Heal me, Lord. Heal my family. Heal my finances. Heal my health. Heal my life, Lord. Make the impossible things possible. Make the impossible things possible. My friend, as you obey the Lord and surrender your heart to God and say, Lord, I surrender all of my heart to you. I give all of my heart to you, Lord, today. Use me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Strengthen me. Give me a better plan for my life, Lord. Pray for yourself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord. I thank you, God, for your word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Your word is a lamp and light, O Lord, the Bible says. Father, today, Lord, as we heard the word, that how Peter and John, in obedience, they surrendered to you, Lord, and they brought healing to this hopeless person. Lord, they brought joy into a hopeless life, Lord. Mighty God, I pray that you use us all, mighty God, with uncommon boldness and courage, that our thoughts, words, and actions will bring a healing like Peter and John was a healing. You will use us to be a healing in many people's lives. The gospel will be spread to us, Lord. Our thoughts, our words, and actions will speak powerfully. Lord, do a mighty work, Lord. Nothing is impossible to you, Lord Jesus. Everything is possible to those who believe. We thank you once again for this. Lord, I pray for Zion Alliance Church. Bless this church. Use this church to bring hope into the hopeless in this world. To bring the gospel to the world, O Lord. I thank you once again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you all.